The following is a presentation of Remnant. I am reaching from the depths of my soul. Hear me pleading. I'm a child, I'm a poor, I am needed. To the throne of your virtue, believing.
Hi, this is Jerry Godsey, co-pastor of Remnant. Remnant was begun with one goal, to touch people with God's incredible love. My prayer is that this study will comfort you, challenge you, and bring you one step closer to being the person God wants you to be. If this study is helpful or if you need more information, please drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
It's going to happen in church. Amen? It's going to happen in church. Thankfully not here. It doesn't happen here much. Thankfully. It's going to happen in your home. It's going to happen at work. You have somebody at work, you see them walk down the hallway, and you're like, oh, don't come this way. Yeah. Or you do this thing. You're walking, you're looking at your clipboard, something, you look up, oh, crud. Oh. And then all of a sudden, you remember something you had to do the other way. How do you get along with difficult people? That's what we're going to talk about today. Dealing with jerks. The problem is, we're so quick to say it's their fault. I'm pretty sure if you ask them, they'd say it was our fault. So if you're the Christian in the two halves that are fighting, how much more then should you be the one who pays the price? How much more then should you be the one that finds peace? So let's talk about that together. We're taking it right out of Colossians 3, the portion we read. First thing is, you have to be able to take the high road. Take the high road. Paul said in verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. What he's doing there is reminding you, oh, by the way, you're God's people. More than anything else, remember all through this thing that you're God's people. And if you're God's people, that carries with it a certain sense of responsibility and a certain sense of, if he said that's the way it has to be done, that's the way I'm going to do it. So, as God's people, holy, dearly loved, we're expected to live holy lives. This identity, it's how we should determine that we're going to act. You say, you know what, you're in a conflict with somebody. I don't know where this person is spiritually, but I know where God has me. And I know that as God's child, holy and dearly loved, I need to put on this certain part. I need to take the high road. A few years ago, Elton John and Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones got in a big argument in public through the media. Keith said that Elton John was a Vegas act, and his career now consisted of writing songs for dead blondes. Because he'd written the song about Princess Diana. Elton John, though, countered back and said, he's so pathetic, it's like a monkey with arthritis trying to go on stage and look young. Now, those are a couple of good lines. What surprised me most isn't that two guys had a spat. And really, it was like a sissy slap fight at that point, wasn't it? It doesn't surprise me that two people got in a public spat. It surprised me that one of them didn't just disregard it. They're powerful. They're rich. They've got all their stuff. They're successful. Okay, you say something about me? Too bad. Shut up. I'm going to be big enough to ignore you. I'm going to just walk away from you and say, you know what? Whatever. And that's hard for us because we want to get our peace in. We want to snipe back. We're like, hey, you think that? Well, listen to this. You got a funny looking nose. I mean, and it does become that petty, doesn't it? Husbands and wives start fighting and, you know, they're talking about, who dented the car, and the next thing you know, it's a fight. Well, you never loved my mother. And the correct answer to that, gentleman, by the way, is not, can you blame me? That is not a good answer. You compare that with Tiger Woods. When Tiger Woods won the Masters, there's a tradition at the Masters that the next year, The previous winner of the Masters serves the new Masters winner dinner. And when they asked Fuzzy Zeller what he was going to serve to Tiger Woods, he said, probably fried chicken. Now, Fuzzy Zeller, not a racist. It just came across really, really bad. And it came, and the media played it up and went after Fuzzy Zeller. Tiger Woods could have run Fuzzy Zeller through the ringer, could have just decimated him. Instead, he said this. He said, "I know he's a jokester. I've concluded that no personal animosity toward me was intended. We all make mistakes, and it's time to move on." Isn't that a more grown-up response than, "Yeah, you too"? Yeah, you and your mama. I mean, isn't that more grown up? Take the high road. If you're going to get in an argument with somebody, if somebody's going to be the person at your work, in your house, that is picking and saying things that are wrong, you take the high road. You got nothing to gain by going down in the dirt with them. That's why Paul said in verse 14 of today's passage, "Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Take the high road. I was counseling a couple once who had marriage problems, and the husband had been very vocal about the reasons why he was going to leave his wife. He had a ton of reasons. So as a last-ditch effort, the wife said, "Let's just go to one counseling session with Jerry." So they did, and that's where he made his mistake, because he sat down and talked with me. So he gave me a list of reasons why he couldn't go on in this marriage, and this, and I let him talk. Finally, I said, "So what's your contribution to the problems here? What have you done wrong?" And he was shocked. "Me? I haven't done anything wrong." And I looked at him and said, "Dude, I've known you too long for that. Come on." I said, "Come on, what have you done to make things more difficult for her?" "Well," I said, "I'm not very patient." "Okay, what else?" "I have hair trigger temper and I yell sometimes." "All right, what else?" Then she piped up. "Well, he doesn't always do what he says he's going to do." And I looked at her and said, "Wait a second, this is his list, not yours." She didn't like that either. So then he looked at me and said, "Well, she's right. You know, I tell her I'm going to take her out for the weekend or something and I don't do it. What else?" And we went on for several minutes. He just kept finally saying the things that he was doing that were wrong, that shouldn't be. And when it was all done, I looked at him and said, "So explain to me, you're going to leave her. Why didn't she leave you?" And now, I'd known this guy long enough to know he wasn't going to punch me. You can only get by with that with people you know aren't going to punch you. Or that you can take in a fair fight if it comes down to it. All of a sudden, though, there was a new element added. Before, it was just anger and bitterness and Now there's another element to this, and it's humility. "Well, you know what? I am partly to blame with this. I am the one that is partly to blame." See, as long as you always think it's the other person's fault, nothing ever is going to be changed. Once you start taking the high road and say, "You know what? I can't fix them. I'm going to fix me." Husbands and wives, if you're fighting with each other to try and fix the other person, it's a losing cause. I've tried for 33 years to fix my wife. Come to find out, she doesn't need fixing. I do. And it's that way for all of us. We're the ones who need fixing. We're the only ones we can work on. You can't make your husband or your wife better. And if you try, you're going to frustrate them. My grandpa said, it's kind of like my grandpa said, answering critics is like teaching a pig to sing. It doesn't work and annoys the pig. trying to change your spouse, it's like teaching a pig to sing. It doesn't work and it just annoys them. Move on. Take the high road. Offer other people the same mercy that Christ offers you. Look at them and say, "You know what? You're not perfect, but neither am I. So I'm going to work on my stuff, and then let's see how that goes." All the difference in the world. Secondly, remember that your actions are more important than your feelings. It's hard to imagine up here, but at home, it's probably 110 degrees. So, I gone into my closet this week, and I've dug out all my winter coats, and I ordered a brand new parka on Amazon, and I'm hoping it's here by the time the really hot weather comes. Because nothing is better for the summer than to just be bundled up in these big, hot, heavy fur jackets. No. No. This is as dressed up as I want to be in the summertime in Imperial Valley. That's a bad thing. If you lived in a winter climate, you know, you can put more clothes on. You live in it where it's hot, you can only take so many clothes off and still be in public. And then you're still hot, you're just not clothed very much. No, you put on the correct clothing because you want to be comfortable. You put on the correct clothing because that makes sense. That's why verse 12 says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You clothe yourselves with these things because sometimes you have to put them on like a coat because that's not how you really feel. You're angry with somebody. Instead of lashing out at them, you clothe yourself with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, with patience. You may feel your feelings sending you off in one way, but you say, wait a second though, the Christ that I serve, the God who lives within me says that I need to clothe myself in compassion. I need to offer humility here. I need to offer gentleness and patience. See, over the years, we've kind of been lied to about our feelings. We've been told that our feelings are always correct. And you know what? Your feelings are not always correct. You ever wake up in the morning, you don't feel like a human? I do on a regular basis. I get up. I look at myself in the mirror. I have breath that could peel wallpaper. My back hurts. My leg hurts. And I look at it and I think, I don't know what this is in the mirror, but I don't think it's human. But allegedly it is. I mean, I've had tests. I'm supposedly human. Your feelings lie to you. You get all upset about something and find out it's not really the way you thought. I'm driving down the road and I see Frank. I wave to him. He passes right by, doesn't wave back. Stinking Frank. Snub me. Who you think you are? He just didn't see me. My feelings about that were totally wrong. I was offended. I was upset. I was going to cry. Let me tell you something. If you give vent to your feelings every time you feel something, you're going to have a lot of difficult relationships in your life. It's much better for you to just, what's a nice way to put this? Just shut up. Just shut up. That was a nice way to put it. I had other ways. I could have said, shut your trap, shut your pie hole. Just shut up. Before you start letting out this litany of, well, you always do this, and you never do that, and I'm telling you. Stop. Clothe yourself with compassion. Clothe yourself with humility. And stop and ask yourself if that's the way you should answer. This is not being false. This is being godly. This is not, I'm being fake. No, you're not. You're stopping and taking a moment and saying, you know what, maybe I don't have all the issues here, and maybe there's a better way for me to handle this. Put on compassion, put on kindness, put on gentleness. Romans 2, 5 through 11 says, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. Listen to this now. But those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth, follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. Clothe yourself in humility. Clothe yourself in compassion. Does this mean that you sweep conflict with other people under the rug? No. There's a time to deal with it. But you deal with it in a godly manner. You deal with it the right way. And that usually does not include a lot of screaming and throwing things. In fact, pretty much never. Next thing you need to do is include Christ in every conversation. Remember the WWJD bracelets? Stood for what would Jesus do? And we still have one? Wearing one? Yeah? Okay. What would Jesus do? And it's a good idea. It was, stop and think for a minute. What would Jesus do in this situation? Maybe in our conversations we should stop and say, what would Jesus say? I'm in the middle of this confrontation with somebody. What would Jesus say right now? If you're standing around with your friends and somebody else says something negative about another person, what would Jesus say right now? Would he join in all the gossip? Or would he take a higher road? In fact, let's talk about gossip. The definition of gossip? Saying something negative about somebody that isn't there. When I was youth pastor, I had a guy in our church come to me and say, you know what? I want to talk about the pastor. I got some things I need to get off my chest about the pastor. I said, well, I tell you what. Let's set up a meeting with the pastor and I, and then you can tell both of us together. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, then you don't really want to talk to me about the pastor. See, because I'll never forget Brother Marr, Karen's grandpa. I'll never forget Brother Marr saying in front of the church one time when they hired him at Faith Assembly, took care of the seniors and stuff. He said, you know, I've got this really horrible habit. Whenever people talk to me about the pastor, I just can't keep myself from running and telling him what they said. And you know what? That's the integrity of that man. If you're going to gossip about somebody, that says an awful lot about you, not about them. Do you really need to talk junk about somebody? Oh, yeah, sometimes we cast them off as prayer requests, don't we? Would you pray for John Smith? Did you hear about John Smith? Would you pray for him? No, what happened to John? Now, you could say John lost his job and he's moving to Yuma. Or, did you hear about John Smith? We need to pray for him. Because he resigned because he was forced to resign. And his place was losing business. And the bosses all got mad at him. And now they may lose his house. He has to take a lower paying job in Yuma. And now his wife may leave him. May lose his kids. Oh, we better pray. Really? Or couldn't I have just said, hey, we need to pray for John Smith? See, one is a prayer request. The other is gossip masquerading as a prayer request. Come on. We don't need that. And if you're really a godly person, if somebody says, hey, will you pray for John Smith? That's enough. Proverbs 20:19 says, do not associate with a gossip. It's tough, isn't it? Don't associate with a gossip. You know why? Because they drag you down into their pit. You don't need to hear some of the crud they think about other people. I got family members that call me, and 5 minutes into the call, it's all about what other family member they don't like and what other family member did this, and we need to, you know, and I find myself talking to those people less and less. Love them. They're family members, but I am not going to carry all of their junk. Just not. Don't need to know that about other people I love. Don't care. They got a need, I care. If you just want to tell me what a horrible person they are, that's an opinion. Opinions like belly buttons, everybody's got one. And trust me when I tell you, not everybody wants to see yours. Or mine especially. That's why verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Include Christ in every one of your conversations. If you're upset with somebody, how would Jesus handle this? What words would Christ have me say to these people right now? I guarantee you, if in the middle of your argument you would stop and say that one single prayer, God, don't let anything come out of my mouth that isn't of you. Amen. Wow. how different would your arguments be? They'd be pretty short, wouldn't they? Because then there would be compassion, there'd be gentleness, there would be love, there'd be grace, and there'd be peace that flowed instead of anger, bitterness, and barking. Finally, this sounds kind of self-explanatory, but it really isn't. Pursue personal peace. Personal peace. The key to developing peace in our relationships is to develop peace within us first. You can't give something you don't have. Somebody asked me to give them a dollar, and I don't have a dollar. I can't give them a dollar. I have a piece of paper here. You can have this piece of paper. Somebody might think it's worth a dollar. No, it's okay, dude. Go away. And if somebody comes to me and we're in a clash with each other and there needs to be peace, how can I give peace if I don't have any? If I'm in constant turmoil in my own heart, in my own self, how on earth can I give somebody else peace if I don't have it? Verse 15 of Colossians says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as member of one body, you are called to peace." If you haven't experienced that peace that God has, that's a huge missing piece in your life. When things start going bad for you, when things start going the wrong direction, do you stop and say, okay, God, I can either stress out about this or I can get your peace? One of those is going to help, the other one isn't. Has anybody ever made a situation better by stressing about it? Have you ever, stressed an answer in? No, more often than not, you just lose sleep, lose hair. I've had my days. It doesn't make anything better. But if you just stop and say, okay, God, I want to look at this the way you look at it. It's like I told people all the time, look, you know what? You got two choices. Either God's in control of this whole thing and it's going to work out fine, or God's not in control and we're all toast anyway. You stop and think about that? We get so upset about, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Wait a second. Is God in control or not? If he's in control, it's going to be all right. If God's not in control and we're just in this on our own, we're all going to die. Because none of us are that good or that smart. I know that comes as a shock to a couple of you, but yeah, none of you are that good or that smart. I found these verses, Isaiah 26:3. You, Lord, give true peace to those who depend on you because they trust you. John 14:1. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit. We've got to learn to cultivate that in our own lives. We can freak out, or we can stop and say, wait a second. God has taken me through bigger stuff than this. If God was able to create the heavens and the earth in 6 days and then take a vacation day on Sunday, I think he can handle whatever's stressing you out. If God can do the things, half the things that we think he can do, what makes you think that you're so special he can't handle your trouble? Oh, but Jerry, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. Don't care. Because I know my God's bigger. I know that the peace of God that passes all understanding is available to us. But we have to cultivate that, guys. We have to seek for that. We have to give God. What did we say in in Isaiah? You, Lord, give true peace to those who depend on you. Now, if you're doing this yourself, yeah, you have every right to be stressful. But if you're depending on God to see you through, that's a whole different ballgame, isn't it? It's like the difference between renting a house and buying and owning a house. When we were renting, if the water heater went out, call the landlord. Hey, dude. You need a new water heater in the house that you own, that I pay money in to live every month. Guess what happened the first time the water heater went out in the house I own? My wife said, hey, dude,
You need a new water heater. And I had to go to Lowe's and buy a new water heater. And I had to come put it in. And I had to haul the old one away. Who owns your life? Who's in control of your life? Is God in control? Are you depending on God for everything? Is God your provider? Is God your creator? Is God the one who's doing everything for you? Or are you doing it on your own? If you're in control, you got every reason to freak out when the water heater goes bad. But if it's God's house, hey, God, you got a problem. You need to fix this. In fact, God, I'm going to place this phone call. I'm going to pray and say, okay, God, you fix it. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to watch soccer on TV because it's the World Cup. This, by the way, this is my once every 4 years I'm a soccer fan. I'll see you in 2018, whenever it is. Isn't that different? One is, oh, I got to figure out a way to do this, and I got to get the right tools, and I got to get the right water heater, and what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? There was like, okay, I prayed. God's on it. That's it. Wow. Which is more stressful? And do you really think you can fix it? No. You've got to let God do these things in you. So when it comes down to conflict with people that you don't like at work or in your home, you got conflict at home, first of all, put on the right clothes. Right? Take the high road. More than anything else, let God do it. You can't automatically default to freak out mode. Or to Star Wars mode. Did Darth Vader come into the room? What's going on here? Whose kid is that, by the way? Yeah, it was you. Yeah, it was you. I was planning on doing this as a solo act, Josiah. You know what? Getting along with others isn't always easy. In fact, sometimes it seems like it's not possible. But it is. You've got to let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And you know what you're going to find out? Is that people rub you wrong the wrong way, rub you the wrong way less and less. Because as you start to see people the way Jesus sees them, you see them as people who are broken, not as people you need to fix. When is the last time you saw somebody you didn't like, somebody that caused you problems, and you said, you know what, God, I want to see them the way you see them. God, I want you to open my eyes so I can see their hurt. So I can see their pain, so I can see what causes them to be like that. Isn't that what compassion is all about? Clothing yourself with compassion. It's so easy for us to take shots at people. But it's not God's way. God's way is for us to love them. Stephen Covey, I think, said it best when he said, seek first to understand and then be understood. As we've been speaking, I guarantee you, some of you have been thinking about specific people. It's somebody at work, maybe somebody you're sitting next to. You're having issues and you don't know how to deal with it. Well, you came on the wrong day because now you've been given tools and you're on the hook for it. Make no mistake about it, you walk out of here and nothing changes, that's on you now. Your behavior is on you. You can't change what the other person does. You can only change what you do, how you react, how you do things. If that person wants to be rotten to you, okay. Move on. God, let me love them. Let me be good to them. Let me show them your compassion. And God, you do something great. Amen? How do you deal with jerks? Like Jesus would. That's a pretty heavy way to do it. But you know what? It's not an option. We get sometimes we act like we're at the buffet line over there. Oh, somebody brought a salad. Who Who brings a salad? Who brought healthy stuff today? What's wrong with you? This is all about hot dogs and potato salad and fattening things. Somebody brought broccoli. I think I saw a kale salad over there. I guarantee you, no piece of kale poisoned my plate. Some people that were like that with this kind of thing. When God says, hey, you got to love him anyway, we say, oh, no, that's kale. I'm not putting that on my plate. And God says, yeah, well, kale's good for you. Now I have to go eat a piece of kale. I feel convicted. Hey, guys, this isn't the buffet. This is the daily staple of our life. This is the way we must live. Clothe yourself with compassion, humility, gentleness, with love. And see how much, you know what, and what's amazing? As you do this, those other people stop being so bad. Did they really change? Maybe a little bit. Really, what changed is the way you look at them. And that's worth it all. Let's pray. God, thanks. I am reaching from
the depths of my soul. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.